Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
All right, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today here on Tuesday, June 25th. What's going on, everybody? Adam Azer and Scott White. What's up, Scam? How are we doing, Scott?
Yeah, Team Scam. Big show.
Big show.
Big day.
Mm-hmm. Heath is on vacation enjoying Orlando, Florida. Chris is enjoying New York City. I'm supposed to meet him for dinner tonight, but I can't because we are actually recording a special episode tonight at like 11:30 p.m. on Tuesday night. We're going to have Chris Welsh from the In This League podcast on. At least that's the plan, Chris. Don't back out. And Scott and I will also be on the show. How was fantasy baseball for you yesterday? How would everything go?
Oh, it was a little strange, a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of pitchers who I think we were expecting to get worse had experienced some normalization yesterday. So it might have been painful for some people, but it was a step in the direction that that their numbers said they should go.
Yeah, if you're talking about Steven Matz, that was one that was painful for me because I sat there and looked at the lineup. Do I start him? Do I sit him? I started him. I should have sat him. I didn't know his horrible history in Philadelphia and six starts in his career now in Philadelphia. Matz has an ERA. It's like north of 7, I think. It's terrible. Career in Philadelphia, 8.18 ERA and six starts. So you don't want to start him at Citizens Bank Park. I was happy David Dahl homered. He is striking out a lot lately, so we'll talk about that. Any standouts from Monday? The Marlins didn't play, so we can't talk about any Marlins pitchers. I'm not sure I have a huge standout from Monday. Do you have anybody?
I mean, I think it might be time to start taking Jason Kipnis a little more seriously. He had a walk-off home run for Cleveland. It was his fourth home run since last Sunday when he says he figured something out with his hands. I think he's referring to the way he positions them. But, in the week plus since then, he's hit about 500 with four home runs. And he's been pretty much a non-factor in fantasy for 2.5 years, but used to be regarded as a must-start option. So I can kind of buy the idea that something was off for him for mechanically all that time, and he just finally figured it out.
Yeah, you can wait.
Do you
can
really
buy,
need
you can
another
buy
infielder? I don't know.
You can buy that he just figured something out mechanically because it's been his OPS the last two seasons 705, 704. So
yeah.
I don't know that I can buy a 2.5 year slump and that he just figured out with his hand placement. Now okay. I did have Kipnis in the notes. I'm glad you brought him up. I do think it's worth it. I think he's only like 14% owned or something. And he is red hot. But yeah, I remember reading that note about the hands. It just seems like, damn, it really took him a long time to figure that out. What have his hitting coach has been doing the last 2.5 years, you know?
I don't know. It's a hard game. You know, if JD Martinez had figured out the proper way to hold his hands earlier than he did, he'd still be an Astro today, probably. So,
all right.
It's probably just addressing. It's probably just a flyer worth taking in deeper leagues. Because do you honestly need another middle infielder? Probably not. I find it's rare that I need an extra hitter of any kind. But nonetheless, I mean, it's starting to get a little interesting.
Yeah, all year long we've been talking about, well, second base. It's the shallowest position other than catcher, which isn't really a position. But is second base really that shallow now with the call-ups and guys getting eligibility and such? Does second base feel shallow to you? Are you struggling at second base anywhere? I don't think I am.
Yeah, I'm not. Maybe outfield in five outfielder leagues, I could stand to have an upgrade or two. But the thing is, I went pretty hard after pitching early in drafts this year, and I still find myself in that situation. It's just such a topsy-turvy world we're playing in right now, Adam. Marte is going to be a 40-homer guy. You know, how did we arrive at this place? I don't know.
What do you mean, though?
It's basically...
You said that you've been going hard after pitching, and you're still, what, needing pitching? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, and not really needing hitting.
Yeah.
It feels like... Oh... I had a good example. I can't think of what the example was wanted to use. But it's just kind of like the home run output from a guy. Like, okay, so I haven't played all the Super Smash Brothers games. The original one, though, I remember playing in high school. And there was an item pickup, the hammer, that would... Like, it was just such a powerful item that we often turned it off because anybody who grabbed the hammer could just knock anybody, like, off the playing field and like, get a lot of victories that way in a way that didn't really demonstrate their skill. And I feel like home runs have kind of become like the hammer in today's game that, like, no matter who's on the mound, no matter who's at the plate, a home run could happen. And it's become that way the last 3 years more than ever. And like it's creating this randomness among the high-end starting pitchers. It's creating this randomness within the hitting pool where, you know, seemingly anyone in the top 15 at a position could be top 5 next week, you know? It's just really hard to distinguish yourself, at least in a standard size league, to distinguish yourself at one of the hitter spots. And it's really all come down to pitching. I feel like, how good is your pitching?
Yeah. In shallower leagues, I do certainly agree with you. Standard size. I don't know what we consider a standard size league, but if you're just starting like one of every position and three outfielders, that's kind of standard, maybe on the small side in a 12 team league. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you shouldn't be looking at your lineup in one of those leagues being like, man, my lineup stinks. It should be good. There are enough really good hitters to go around. My Yahoo League. By the way, Brendan McKay, Yahoo eligible. And starting pitcher eligible now on Yahoo.
Yahoo eligible?
Put in your claims. Here's the good news about that league. You know, we all went through that saga with me, and I appreciate your support telling me that I deserve him. At least I wish you were my commissioner, all of you out there who agree with me. I'm in dead last. I'm in 12th place. So hopefully I have the highest waiver wire priority. I don't know. I just put in a claim this morning. But I look at my lineup in that league, and it is so good. I'm afraid to drop hitters. That's how good my lineup. And I'm in dead last. My pitching sucks beyond belief. I went with Edwin Diaz and Blake Treinen, and that didn't work out. James Paxton missed a bunch of time. I have Garrett Cole. That's been good. But it hasn't worked out. I could do anything to trade hitting for pitching, and I just can't do it. So, I feel like we've been having this conversation for a few years now, and what we do on draft day, is tough because I know I need to prioritize pitching, but I also look at, like, the pitchers who went early and how many of them have been disappointing, either for injury or for bad luck or the home runs like you talked about. There have been a lot of busts. So... comes down, I guess, kind of to luck. Did you draft Tyler Glasnow and Charlie Morton, or did you draft Trevor Bauer and Blake Snell? You know, it's just kind of how it is. But
I feel like it takes you need to be committed, dedicated at every turn to pursuing upside at starting pitching any way you can find it, and understanding that there are going to be a lot of misfires along the way because. Pitching is the fickle mistress that we all have to stay on the right side of, and it's really hard to do that. It requires constant maintenance. But like if you don't, then you're gonna find yourself having to start Julio Teheran in a 2-start week just because there's nobody. You have to fill those lineup spots somehow, and look what happens when you do that.
Yep, and. Julio Teheran, of course, got rocked yesterday. If I had a standout from yesterday, it would be Lucas Giolito. And another start that makes me less convinced that he's truly, truly an ace. I think he's going to be fine going forward because his schedule is going to lighten up after next week. But it's another start against one of the best offenses in baseball, and another pretty bad start, to be quite honest. And it could have been worse because he left with the bases loaded and two outs, and the reliever got out of the jam for him. We'll talk about him a little bit later. We got a couple of sponsors for today's show. We got Hims. If you think maybe you're losing your hair a little bit, that happens to most guys. 66% of men before age 35 start losing their hair, or by age 35. If you want a trial month for $5, go to forhims.com. forhims.com/FBT, forhims.com/FBT. And our other sponsor is SeatGeek. Use the code FANTASY on SeatGeek to get $10 off your first purchase. SeatGeek is awesome. I use it all the time for tickets. FANTASY is the promo code on SeatGeek. News and notes. Jordan Hicks has a torn UCL. They have not decided on Tommy John, but obviously if Hicks isn't out for the rest of the season, he's going to be out for a while, but you're not getting anything out of Jordan Hicks this year, and we'll see about next year. Meanwhile, we get a report, Scott, from Rick Hummel of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that Carlos Martinez is expected to get most of the closer duties. That's what Rick Hummel said.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The passive voice. You phrased it exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly how he put it in the article, is expected to get the majority. Who's expecting him to do this? Is it Rick Hummel who's expecting him to do that? Is it Mike Schilt who's expecting him to do that? We don't know because he used the passive voice, which is often a clever way for people who don't want to use the first person to slip their first person opinion in there. It's the best. It's the most we have to go on, I think, just based on the fact that since returning from the IL in mid-May, Carlos Martinez has worked the eighth inning most of the time. It probably means it's him. And he was the closer down the stretch last year, lest we forget. So Mike Schilt has already shown a tendency to go to him in those spots. But John Mozeliak, the general manager, who isn't the one making that call, said Sunday in no uncertain terms that he thought it'd be Gant. That was before Gant allowed 4 in runs, but still. And then there's another guy, Giovanni Gallegos, whose ratios are incredible. You could make the case he deserves the shot, too, especially if you don't want to disrupt things in the bullpen. So I'd go Martinez first, then Gant, then Gallegos. But if you're really hurting for saves, you want to try and find a way to pick up all three of them, because I could see it going any of those directions.
And I think they'll probably settle on one, right? It's not like they're going to...
Yeah, probably. Right. I mean, that's how Schilt's been operating.
Right, right. So Martinez and Gant are 52 and 58% owned, respectively, and I don't know Gallegos' ownership, but I imagine it's pretty low. Tyler Glasnow will be shut down for 3 weeks. So it's almost July. So I don't know that we're going to see Tyler Glasnow till mid-August, maybe, at the earliest. Maybe that's a little pessimistic, but it can't be that pessimistic. So, yeah, I mean, you can make the decision on your own if you should drop him or keep him, but it's going to be a while before you see Glasnow. Yahoo added Brendan McKay. That's great. Now we need the Rays to add Brendan McKay. He had another good start over the weekend. Bring him up. Asdrubal Cabrera will begin serving a 3-game suspension today. Bryce Wilson is going to start for the Braves on Thursday, Scott. Any interest in Bryce Wilson?
I think in this pitching environment, there's interest in every pitcher with upside. His overall numbers at AAA aren't great. They're not bad either. Last 8 starts, though, he has an ERA around 250 with more than a strikeout per. And really, the walk rate for him has been terrific down there. So I think he's too fastball reliant. I don't have, like, I would rather go Adbert Alzolay over him. But, you know, if you already missed that boat and want to pursue upside, I don't think Bryce Wilson's a bad pickup.
Ross Stripling will start today for the Dodgers against the Diamondbacks. Julio Urias will piggyback. And maybe after tonight, we'll find out who the guy to own in Los Angeles is, or maybe they'll just keep doing this. But neither guy is really stretched out enough. I think Urias is probably more stretched out than Stripling. Noah Syndergaard could pitch on Sunday. Steven Wright will be activated today. Steven Wright, Red Sox knuckleballer, served an 80-game suspension for HGH. He initially will work out of the bullpen. They could use rotation help, so maybe down the line we'll see Steven Wright. Luke Weaver! Boy, he's been on the IL for so long, we haven't been able to sing it. He had an MRI on his elbow. It showed some improvement, but there's still no timetable for Luke Weaver's return. Ian Desmond, day-to-day with a lower half issue, but he is expected to start today. Jake Bowers is day-to-day with a sprained ankle. Adalberto Mondesi should be back this weekend, and Mike Soroka's status still uncertain for the upcoming weekend. And I've got him in a lineup, so let's get yourself on the mound, Mike Soroka. Some baseball stuff. I mentioned David Dahl. He's homered in two straight games, but now he has 7 strikeouts in his last 3 games. That was after he dramatically cut his strikeout rate. So I'm kind of obsessed with him, and I'll keep monitoring it. Cleveland is 15-6 in June. That's the best record in the American League. Yoan Moncada hit his first home run off a lefty yesterday this season. That was off Eduardo Rodriguez. But I will say, like, Yoan Moncada's done a lot better against lefties. He's batting .271. Obviously not a lot of power, but that's a big batting average improvement for Moncada against lefties. Giancarlo Stanton hit his first home run of the season in his 8th game of the season. But I just think it's crazy. June 24th. Look at that shot on video. Oh, my gosh. He crushed that ball. June 24th, Giancarlo Stanton's first home run. All right, Scott, let's play a game called Which is Greater? Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Let's do it.
I give you 2 things. You tell me which is greater. Robinson Cano's home runs or the Mets starting rotation's home runs, as in like the amount of home runs the starting pitchers have hit. Who's hit more, Cano or the pitchers?
Well, it's... I imagine you're asking because the second number is greater.
Well,
so I'm
close.
Going to go with
close.
Mets staff's home run.
You are correct, Scott White. The Mets starting rotation has hit 5 home runs. Robinson Cano has hit 4 home runs this year, and he is just having a dreadful year, batting .223. He has 1 extra base hit in 52 at-bats against lefties. The batted ball data looks pretty similar to last season. So I think, you know, you've heard Kreith talk about how Cano could bounce back. What do you think about Cano? Is he even worth owning at this point?
Like I said, I mean, who do you have a need at second base? If you do, then I guess you could take a chance that Cano figures it out. But he's, yeah, I don't know. Like in terms of strikeout walk rate, those are worse basically than they've ever been before. So is it decline at age 36? I think it may well be. They're not drastically worse. I don't think it's unreasonable to think he could bounce back, but that's just not how I want to use my roster space right now. So I have cut Robinson Cano in all but like the 15-team leagues where I've drafted him, or the NL-only leagues where I've drafted him. And I haven't missed him so far.
So would you cut Cano for Biggio?
I would. I think that we're seeing clearer signs of production from Biggio.
How about for Kipnis?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Would I do it for Kipnis? Certainly if I had a lineup spot to fill right now and was fine just playing with the hot hand, until something more stable emerged there. I think I would be willing to go with Kipnis over Cano right now. But I do think there's a better chance Cano is more useful in the long run. I'm just not sure it's better than a 50-50 shot for either.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later with some emails. We have emails, we have buy or sell, we have grade the trade, we have team name Tuesday, we have a lot of listener interaction today. You know, you're at the point of the season where you might not have the luxury of waiting for a guy to come around if you think he's going to come around. You have to make decisions to win right now in some of your leagues. So, like, I can't sit here and tell you to hang on to Robinson Cano. It's just, you got to win, you know? Like, there are enough good indicators, I guess, in the batted ball profile that maybe he could turn it around. But, you know, you got to win now for many of you out there. We got more Which is Greater coming up. We also have some Hey Real Quick, a busy show today. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll come right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Scott, which is greater, Joey Votto's RBIs or Jose Ramirez's steals?
Um... I guess it's Jose. Am I ruining the game here by saying the answer I don't really think it is? Jose Ramirez and steals?
You guess whatever you want, man.
Well,
Jose Ramirez and steals, is that your
guess? The only reason I think you're asking is because the surprising answer would be Jose Ramirez.
Like, how bad do you think I am at this game? Like, I'm a better game show producer than that, Scott. Joey Votto has more Joey Votto obviously has more RBIs than Jose Ramirez has steals. Joey Votto has 19 RBIs. And Jose Ramirez has 18 steals. Come on. Come on now. Now, listen. I want to talk about both these guys. Joey Votto, you may not realize it, people. In his last 24 games, he is batting .356 with a .972 OPS. And guess what? He's not even a top 20 first baseman. That is amazing. That I don't understand that. Like, only 3 home runs and 11 RBIs. With that .356 batting average in his last 24 games. There's also a lot of players who are first base eligible that you'd be playing at other positions. It's a few like second base eligible guys as well, like Max Muncy and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's interesting. This is Votto's hot streak. .356 batting average, .972 OPS, but there is so little power and so little run production that he hasn't really made that much of a mark, even in this stretch of 24 games.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? What does that mean to you going forward?
Well, yeah, I don't think he's must own anymore. I think he could still get hotter from here. I think he could start to hit home runs at a faster pace. I mean, we've seen him be a good home run guy in the past, but at his age, I don't think you can assume it. It honestly depends on how deep your league is, how you're willing to make use of your bench spots, but you know, getting back to what I was saying earlier about pitching, if you're really pursuing upside at pitcher at every turn, I mean, you're adding Adbert Alzolay over him because there's an upside arm. Zach Gallen, you're adding him over him. Jesus Luzardo, hoping he gets called up soon. I don't know if I'd go as far as to continue to stash somebody like Foltynewicz in the hopes he figures things out at AAA over Votto, but I mean, that's along the same line of thought for me. Is just you hope something sticks at pitcher. And do you need, like, even if Votto bounces back, how comfortable are you with who you have at first base? Probably pretty comfortable. I mean, probably,
yeah.
You know, you haven't had to resort to somebody like Ian Desmond there. You have somebody actually reliable and good.
All right, so let's talk about Jose Ramirez. Now he's batting .217. We got an email that said, Jose Ramirez is officially hot. I don't know. So now it's like 11 games where he's batting over .300, but with one home run, two steals, one double, two triples. If this is a hot streak, I'm not exactly blown away.
He hit two doubles just yesterday.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay, one double in the 10 games before that. So it's three doubles, two triples, one home run, and a batting average over .300 in his last 11 games.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. It's good.
It's a step in the right direction. Yeah, it doesn't mean he's back necessarily. I think he has one strikeout during that stretch, but of course, strikeouts haven't been the problem for him this whole time.
That's right. He does have
one. I think if, you know, based on some of the breakdowns I've seen on what might be happening for him, if he does bounce back, it's probably not going to be with the home run production we've seen from, certainly not last year, maybe not the last couple years. Like, he's going to have to get back to being, hit high average guy who might be able to hit 20 homers, which, look, would still probably make him a highly regarded fantasy asset because of how often he steals bases in points leagues, obviously the lack of strikeouts. But yeah, I don't think... I'm pretty much over the idea that we're going to see 2018 Jose Ramirez again.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get over the idea that I drafted, basically, when I drafted Jose Ramirez with the third overall pick, I basically drafted Billy Hamilton with the third overall pick. 18 steals.
I mean, I hope it's better than that still.
No, but so far he's batting .217 with five home runs and 18 steals. Like, that's insane. All right, what's greater, Scott? Buster Posey's runs plus RBIs? Or Christian Yelich's home runs? Runs plus RBIs for Posey or Yelich's home runs?
I'm going to say Yelich's home runs.
You are wrong, Scott. Posey, 36 runs plus RBIs. See, you think I'm so predictable. Mm-hmm. And Yelich only has 29 home runs. All right, we talked about, you said Votto is not must-own. What about Posey? Like, he has been terrible. But before going on the IL, he wasn't completely terrible. Since coming back from injury, he's 5-for-33 with a double. I dropped him for Josh Fegley in our points league. I'm kind of done with Posey. Because his plate discipline's not even that great anymore.
Well, I just don't know that Josh Fegley is the guy. Like, I could understand if, particularly since Posey went on the IL, if you happen to fill that catcher spot with somebody who we now think is pretty good at there.
Like Carson Kelly?
Yeah, Carson Kelly would be a good example. Mitch Garver's been kind of banged up recently since he came off the IL, so I don't know that. But that's the kind of player I'm thinking, where we now have, you know, we value them on a higher level than we did before, and it's going to be pretty hard to remove him. I don't think carrying a second catcher in Posey in the hopes that he becomes something more is a great use of roster space, probably not. But I would think in a 12-team league, even a one-catcher league, somebody in your league probably should be taking a chance on Posey, because I don't think there are enough of those catchers still to let him sit.
All right, Scott, finally, what's greater, Hyunjin Ryu's ERA or Trevor Bauer's whip?
Better, the better number is Trevor Bauer's whip.
So it's actually lower than Ryu's ERA. You're correct. Ryu's ERA is greater than Bauer's whip. Greater as in higher, 127 ERA for Ryu, 118 whip, mostly because of walks for Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer might be among the league leaders in opponents' batting average, like lowest. He has been hard to hit, but he hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, we're going to move forward here, so I want to get to those emails and the buy or sell. So let's do some hey real quick. This one's so easy. I should have picked a better outfielder. Maybe I'll pick a better outfielder. Andrew Benintendi or Michael Brantley was the hey real quick. What would you say, Benintendi or Brantley?
I would say Brantley.
Yeah, it's too easy. So I need someone better than Brantley, like worse than Brantley, actually. Andrew Benintendi or Giancarlo Stanton?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Damn it. I don't know who to go with here.
Well, like, what about like David Dahl?
Andrew Benintendi.
I think that's more at the point for a value.
Okay, I was going to say
Andrew
Benintendi or John Jay. Okay, let's do Dahl. Who would you go with?
See, I would still side with Benintendi there, because Dahl, you know, the fact that the BABIP is so high, the strikeout rate has come down a good bit, but the BABIP's still too high to believe, and you have to think there's some regression coming there. But yeah, I'm not super confident Benintendi is going to get that much better from here, in which case I'm not even sure a normalized Dahl is worse. I would take that chance now, but not with great confidence.
I feel like Benintendi, who, by the way, is the number 28 outfielder in points, number 43 in Roto, I feel like he is sort of dependent on the Red Sox lineup. He's not that much worse in terms of home runs, steals, batting average than he was last year, because he's not that good in any of it. Like, he's not bad, but the Red Sox are seventh in runs scored this year. Last year, I think they were first. I'll double check right now. Yeah, they were first by a lot, 25 more runs than the Yankees, which is a lot. So, you know, the counting stats maybe get better if the Red Sox lineup gets better. Let's go to our next one. Hey, real quick, both guys pitched last night. Lucas Giolito or Clayton Kershaw?
I will go Kershaw. I think that's how I had them even before Giolito's kind of going through a rough patch here. In terms of control, yesterday he had 4 walks and 5 2/3 innings. That was really the main problem. Before that, the start before that, he just got knocked around in every way. But that's 11 walks now over 16 innings in his past 3 starts. And that was something that he dealt with in April too, when the season first started and it wasn't clear he was such a breakthrough pitcher. I feel like by now it's clear the stuff is so much better than it's ever been before that we can deal with these growing pains, but he hasn't totally whipped the control issue, it appears.
Right, and that's Kershaw's strength right now. I mean, Kershaw has a 107 whip. Giolito also has a 107 whip, but Kershaw's walked just 15 batters in 85 innings. What I like about Kershaw, he's pitched 6 innings or more in every start, and he hasn't given up more than 4 runs in any start. He has been remarkably consistent. What I don't like about Kershaw is his strikeouts are now 75 strikeouts in 85 innings.
But his swinging strike rate is actually back up this year to closer to where it's been for most of his career. So,
but he's throwing 100
pitches. I think there's
pitches.
A possibility there's more strikeouts.
I guess, but he's throwing 100 pitches per start. So, like, he's not throwing 100 pitches per start. He's maxing out at 100 pitches. So, but at the same time, he's not walking anybody, so he's still pitching fairly deep into games. I guess I don't know what his strikeout upside is. I'm assuming that he's not going to really help me that much in strikeouts. Kershaw. By the way, since Kershaw debuted on April 16th, he's 13th in points, 17th in Roto, 7-1 record,
so he's
3.07 ERA.
So he's averaging 6.5 innings per start, which I think has got to rank pretty high. I mean, I don't know of a leaderboard that shows average innings per start, but it's 6 innings per start is good.
Yeah.
And he's 6.5.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. We'll see what happens with those strikeouts. Let's get them back up. We'll talk about some hot hitters, some cold hitters, recap yesterday's action, and get to your questions and your buy or sell right after this quick break and this message from SeatGeek on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Well, Scott, Jason Kipnis is one of the hot hitters I wanted to ask you about, so you already ruined that for me. Let me ask you about 2 other hot hitters. Christian Walker, he's back to hitting pretty well right now. Last 24 games, 329 batting average with 6 home runs. And Jackie Bradley. Jackie Bradley, his first 38 games, he had a 421 OPS. That, you hear me? 421 OPS in 38 games. They stuck with him.
Yeah.
And in his last 33 games, he has a 1034 OPS with 3 steals. He's been really good. So if Christian Walker and Jackie Bradley were both available to you right now, who would you prioritize?
Definitely Walker, who I have remained infatuated with even throughout some of his struggles because he hits the ball so hard and obviously has really good minor league numbers, especially in more recent years. I wrote about him as one of my 4 pickups in the waiver wire column today, and I was surprised at how few RBIs and runs he has. And I think it's just because he wasn't a starter at the beginning of the season. He probably made a lot of, like, his games played is pretty high, but he's probably made a lot of pinch hit appearances. And more recently, Kevin Crone's stolen starts from him. Kevin Crone's back in the minors now, and I think with Walker on a 9-game hitting streak with 3 home runs, we're going to see him play more consistently.
I think
he put, like, I'm more interested in him than somebody like I'd be. I guess probably my interest level is about the same as Joey Votto, actually. Don't think he's quite must-own, but I think there's a chance he gets better from here.
He's also hitting just .224 with runners in scoring position. That could be hurting the RBIs. And Walker, he's been better against righties than lefties, which is good because right now playing time's not an issue. When Jake Lamb comes back, maybe it is, but it shouldn't be. And Jackie Bradley, 32% on, and I wish I had picked him up in a 5 outfielder league, but I missed my chance. Chris Towers picked him up and ride this hot streak. Chris liked Bradley before the season started because he thought, there's going to be a swing change. And Chris's theory is that, it took him a while to sort of adjust to his adjustment. And maybe he's right. All right, let's take a look at a couple of cold hitters that are both owned in 84% of leagues. And tell me, Scott, are they droppable? Didi Gregorius, .241 so far with 1 home run, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, and 14 games. And Alex Gordon, in his last 20 games, he's batting .205. He's been a little hotter recently, but 205 batting average for Gordon in his last 20 games. Basically, that's all of June. Didi Gregorius and Alex Gordon, are either of them droppable?
I never really bought into Alex Gordon, so I'm comforted to see that he's come back down to earth here. Five outfielder leagues, you may not be able to do better for that fifth spot, but anything shallower, and he's definitely droppable. And Gregorius, I think it comes down to format, too. Like I think there's a good chance that he's top 15 the rest of the way, but there's so many redundancies there, like everywhere else. I mean, if you drafted Didi Gregorius thinking you'd stash him till midseason and make do at shortstop in the meantime, you've probably found Jorge Polanco since then, Dansby Swanson, even like a Marcus Semien, at least in a points league. I'd feel more comfortable rolling with him than waiting out this period from Gregorius, where it might take him a while to get back to playing every day. I mean, he's played more regularly recently, I guess. But to regain his stroke, I mean, look at how long it took Corey Seager coming off Tommy John surgery to start hitting like we know he can. It was basically just beginning to happen before he hurt his hamstring and went on the IL.
Yep, it's a good point. Okay, and the plate discipline's been bad, and that was something for Gregorius he made big strides on last year. Those are some cold hitters. And yeah, Scott is a mean man for saying that he is comforted with Alex Gordon slumping. Don't think that we didn't notice that, but don't think that I don't.
Well, not everything has gone topsy turvy. Thankfully, I still don't. Yeah, the home run issue is frustrating me. I mean, you've got Ketel Marte, who was projected to be like an Ender Inciarte type coming up through the Mariners system. He's on pace for 40 home runs, and yet, like that's become so commonplace. It's not like front like. You know, people aren't losing their minds over it. You know, it's just kind of, Ketel Marte, how about him? And it's just weird that we've gotten to that point. Tommy La Stella has five more home runs than the past 5 years combined. Now that has gotten more headlines, but even so, it's still ridiculous.
It is. And baseball knows it and they're trying to fix it. I do like the fact that.
Are they?
I think so. I mean, I like the fact that they're not like, oh, there's nothing wrong with the ball. Like, they're acknowledging there's less drag on the ball, and I think they're trying to fix that. They don't want to see this many home runs. And it is certainly changing the game. I don't really mind it, though. Yeah, Ken Rosenthal, I believe, was it Ken Rosenthal? Gosh. It was somebody wrote for The Athletic about how basically the game was being ruined by all these home runs. It was either Rosenthal or was one of their like very well known established
Stark, maybe
might have been Jason Stark, like a Hall of Fame caliber writer, and I just don't agree with the premise. Like I don't mind it. I still get excited for home runs. I wouldn't mind if there were fewer of them, but for some reason, Scott, it's like I still think like are people complaining? Maybe they are, but are people complaining that there are too many three pointers in basketball? It's still an exciting play.
Some people are.
Yeah.
Some people are.
But I don't think it's ruining basketball. Like, but before this year, when LeBron was still on the East Coast, like the ratings were great. I don't think that the problem with baseball is that there are too many home runs. I certainly don't think people are like, nah, I don't want to watch baseball. There's too many home runs. That is not the issue at all. Home runs are still the most exciting thing in baseball. What's more exciting?
I don't think that's true at all. I think balls in play, whether it's runners racing around the bases or balls in play allowing a fielder to make a great play, I feel like that's more exciting. Home runs used to be more exciting because they felt like a major accomplishment, but they don't anymore.
But they still impact the game more than
anything
else. I think
maybe saying it ruins the game is taking it too far. I still enjoy it, obviously, but there have been times when I could sit down and watch a baseball game and felt more entertained by it than I do now.
Yeah, I think baseball has always been really boring. It was Ken Rosenthal. It's not baseball. It's bludgeon ball. And what's the rest of the headline? And the frequency of home runs is nothing short of numbing. I don't feel that way. Like I respect the opinion. Who might argue with Ken Rosenthal? But I don't really feel that way. I have no problem with all the home runs. I would like to see a little more batting average, but baseball's like, go watch an old baseball game. It's freaking boring. You either love baseball or you don't, but it's not an exciting sport. I'm sorry to say. I love it, but you got to love the intricacies of baseball. It's not going to like hit you over the head with how exciting it is. All right. End of rants. Fringy starting pitchers. Tell me who you want on this list, Scott. Let's do this quick. Steven Matz. Why quickly? Because I want to get to all the emails and stuff. I want to get the listeners involved. Steven Matz. Adam Plutko and Brad Keller were both having good starts yesterday before the rain delay. So we crapped on Plutko, but he had one run on one hit in four innings. And Keller was good too. CC Sabathia struck out 9 Blue Jays. He threw 100 pitches for the first time this season. Drew Pomeranz is the other one. Pomeranz had 11 strikeouts against Colorado. He's been better lately, but you know, he's Drew Pomeranz. And he's 8% owned. He's in a different category. Matz, Plutko, Sabathia, Keller, Pomeranz. You think any of these guys are like good?
No, these are the kind of guys I'm talking about where if you haven't been consistently pursuing upside at starting pitcher, you probably have to start somebody like this. And it went very poorly for Matz. Keller was one I liked because he had two really good matchups and had been on a pretty good run, but I don't think he's reliable in the long run. A lot of hits given up. I'm more of a pitch to contact guy. And I think maybe Sabathia might be the most consistent in terms of what he's going to deliver because he has a great lineup backing him. The strikeout rate is still decent,
yeah,
but
it's higher than
even
I thought.
I think of him more as a matchups type.
Sure, yeah. And he so rarely pitches 6 innings now. I mean, he's been doing it 3 of his last 5 starts, but like that is a guy that they will not extend deep into games, but he did manage to get through 6
innings. Yeah, I mean, he's 38 years old, right?
I
wouldn't say there's upside there. It's just you can survive better with him than a lot of these other guys who we don't really perceive as having much upside.
Sabathia doesn't kill you, but he does kill your whip, so just keep that in mind. He has a 136 whip this year. He might have 2 starts next week. The Yankees rotation's kind of juggling around. They might have an opener today. They only have 5 games this week, but Sabathia might have 2 starts. All right, let's do some buy or sell. Buy or sell from MG Mitchell. Buy or sell, Bo Bichette will be up before the All-Star break.
I sell that. That's All-Star break's 2 weeks from now, so I sell that.
Okay, all right. Good start. Buy or sell from Rockhead Fantasy Sports. Domingo Santana finishes the season with 30 homers, 20 steals, and 200 strikeouts. How many players have ever done that? 30 homers, 20 steals, and 200 strikeouts. Well, I'll tell you what. It's not going to be Domingo Santana because he only has 5 steals. But he probably will have 30 home runs and about 200 strikeouts, Scott.
There's a good chance, yeah. There's a good chance. I'm more confident in the strikeouts, I think, than the home runs. But he's on pace for more than 30. More like 35 is what he's on pace for.
Yeah, he's definitely been a good draft pick if you picked him late. From Little Rojo, buy or sell, Hyunjin Ryu will finish top 5 in NL Cy Young voting. Hashtag happy belated birthday, Adam. Thank you. Somebody cares.
I think with Ryu, there's always the threat of injury. But if he doesn't get hurt, then yeah, I would. Top 5, I don't think, is too hard of a standard to meet. So I would buy that.
Rest of season, would you rather have Ken or Ryu?
Ken or Ryu? Did you say Ken?
I said
Who's Ken?
Yeah, these are Street Fighter characters, Ken and Ryu.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's also Ryu. Oh,
I don't know. It could be Ryu. Yeah, it could be.
Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, is that his name? Okay, good to know. Are they? Is he all?
And his dad's
name
was Ken.
Huh, that's got to be like an homage, right? Okay,
yeah,
this is
probably
from Henry. Buy or sell, Charlie Morton is a top 10 starting pitcher rest of season.
I sell that. I don't rank him that way. He could be, but I think there's always there's a threat of injury with him too.
Buy or sell from Zach. Justin Verlander is the number 1 starting pitcher in 2020 drafts. Next year, Verlander number 1. I sell the hell out of
that. He's going to be about 38 next year too. So that's a sell for me. I don't know why. He's been better than Max Scherzer this year, but Max Scherzer's closing that gap pretty quickly, and he's a few years younger, and I I don't see what advantage Verlander has over him. I guess maybe supporting cast, but not that's not a huge margin.
And a lot of people are going to take Gerrit Cole over Verlander, as they seem to be doing this year based on the emails we've gotten. From Roto Run, buy or sell, Jose Ramirez ends the season with more than 50 home runs plus steals. Jose Ramirez, okay, let's see what he has right now. I think he has five home runs and 18 steals, and we're about halfway there. Yeah, so that's 23. Is he going to get to 50?
Yeah. If he doesn't, then it's a sad day for Jose Ramirez owners, because that, like you said, he's on pace for about 45 right now, and that's with terrible start to the season.
Okay, next one is from Billy. Buy or sell, flipping Aaron Judge for Josh Donaldson and Lourdes Gurriel in a 10-team league. I have outfield depth. So he gave up Judge. This is a grade the trade in buy or sell terms. I am selling this trade. I would not give up Aaron Judge for Josh Donaldson and Lourdes Gurriel.
Yeah, neither would I.
No, that's
neither would I. I don't think in a 15-team league where lineup spots are harder to fill, could I make that argument? And this is a 10-team league.
Yeah, no. I did sit Aaron Judge this week, though. I will say that, because he sat. I knew he sat yesterday, and that meant he had a 4-game week, and he's been cold since coming back. So I sat Judge, but no, I am not selling him for Donaldson and Gurriel. Come on now. Zach Nelson. Lourdes Gurriel, home run yesterday. He looked pretty good. Zach Nelson. Gleyber Torres hits 35 home runs this season. Buy or sell? I don't even know.
Well, he's on pace for that, right? And I don't think... this is the state, right, at second base and shortstop, where he's not like an obvious top five player despite this great power production, a 285 batting average, a great lineup. And I could barely get him in the top 10, I think, at either of those spots, maybe not even top 12. I'm inclined to buy this because I don't really think anything he's doing is unsustainable. And yet, how valuable is it?
Yeah, it's a great point. So I just want to see where he ranks at second base, Gleyber Torres. Let's see if we can figure it out. I'll get back to that in a second. Let's go to our next buy or sell from Zach. Kyle Tucker and Jordan Alvarez. Jordan Alvarez are both must starts by August 1st. Tucker and Alvarez.
Yeah, I would be pretty bummed out if Kyle Tucker's not up by August 1st. And he got off to a really slow start at AAA, but since about May 1st, he's been putting up Alvarez-like numbers down there, but with good stolen base production too. So it didn't go well for him early last year, but I imagine it'll go better the next time around. So I'll buy this.
Okay. And one more. Buy or sell from Drew, Austin Riley and Pete Alonso, just in general.
They're similar in terms of profile. I haven't looked at Austin Riley's ratios in a while, but part of the reason I was willing to kind of sell high on Riley early on is because it would take Pete Alonso levels of kind of being an outlier for him to produce with the strikeout rate he had, for him to produce must-start fantasy numbers. I buy Alonso more than Riley at this point, but so far, Riley has still been an outlier in terms of how hard he hits the ball in terms of line drive rate. And if he can continue that, then he could survive a 30% strikeout rate.
Gleyber Torres is the number 8 second baseman in points and 6th in Roto. How about that? He really is having a good year, and he hasn't even faced the Orioles in a while. All right, thank you for your buy or sell. And now we'll read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Only 7 games yesterday, Scott. Wasn't that nice? Nice little respite.
It was lovely. It was lovely. I do enjoy that.
I intended to start watching Evil Genius on Netflix. I heard good things, but I fell asleep at like 9:30, so didn't exactly work out. Man,
I've heard no things. I haven't heard of Evil Genius.
Yeah, my cousin recommended it. I heard good thing about Evil Genius. Dear Juan Nicasio, Corey Kluber, Jason Witten, Aerosmith, and many more things that Adam has been wrong about. This is from Ryan in St. Louis. As a lifelong Cardinals fan who spent my teens and early 20s watching Albert Pujols in a Cardinals jersey, I want to know what Adam Azer, king of all etiquette for baseball fans, would have done if after 2009, Derek Jeter left the Yankees for a National League team, and 8 years later, he made his return to Yankee Stadium for a weekend series. Is the Highness Adam Azer saying Yankees fans would not have given him a standing ovation for every single at-bat? Oh, please, get off your iron throne, Adam. With that said, I still love you. I still
Adam's
love you, too.
Adam's on the iron throne.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
might have been a better ending than
maybe
ended up there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that they would have given him a standing ovation every at-bat. But they may have, and I probably would have been pretty annoyed by it. So your point is taken. That was a fun little discussion we had about Cardinals fans. We had a good response about it. Speaking of Cardinals, here's Code from California. Who would you rather have rest of season, Scott, Jesus Luzardo, or Jack Flaherty?
Jack Flaherty. I don't really have any objections to what Flaherty's doing. I think maybe people got ahead of themselves in terms of breakout or no breakout. I mean, he's still like getting his swinging strikes are similar to last year and really good. But he's still not a finished product yet. In this pitching environment, I think it's hard to take him out of your lineup, but you know, he hasn't had the breakout, so I think people are disappointed. Jesus Luzardo, he could be better, but he could be useless too. So I would rather go Flaherty.
Okay, from Rob. Dear Jack, Janet, and Chrissy. I don't know them. Categories League. When Yandy Diaz comes back, should I keep Diaz or go with Todd Frazier, Freddie Galvis, or Jason Kipnis?
I would keep Diaz unless Kipnis keeps this going for, you know, another week or so. But yeah, I think Diaz has slowed down after a hot start, but he's still been productive enough that you could use him, you know, and not be at too much of a disadvantage to either the positions where he's eligible.
Okay, I know I just looked up who Jack, Janet, and Chrissy are, and I'm gonna see if you know it. I'm gonna have to play the theme song for you, but give me a moment. So next,
is it Three's Company?
It is. I didn't come and knock on our door. Good job. All right, this is from Scott in Portland. Dear Adam, and really only Adam, subject line, did you finally find your outro? In the past, I feel like I've heard you lament that you don't have a good way to sign off the show. Then last Monday, on June 17th, I thought you nailed it. Quote, everything else you need to know on Fantasy Baseball Today, tomorrow. I thought it was great. Go back and listen. I think you should adopt it as your closing line. Good stuff.
Mm.
All right, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot today. I'm going to put it in bold.
Yeah, it's
in
right
my
up
notes.
There with Seacrest out. Good. Good line. It wouldn't work on a Friday, though.
That's true. I'll have to do Azer out on a Friday. From Matthew, I'm listening to today's episode. I literally pulled over to write this email. I'm born and raised in St. Louis. I'm a huge Cardinals fan. I visibly cringe every time someone in my social media feed remarks about Cardinals fans being the best in baseball. And this weekend nearly hospitalized me with cringe. I think every fan base has the same general mix of great people and jerks, and no one fan base is better than the other, except Philadelphia sports fans. Those people are jerks. Okay, good stuff. I agree with everything there. From Brendan. Okay, go ahead. You want to weigh in?
The two fan bases that I've noticed have a prevailing attitude that's different from the average fan base, which is mostly made up of the same kinds of, you know, the same ratios of people, as this guy's saying. Are Yankees and Mets fans.
What do you mean?
One is, like, the Yankees fan response to anytime they're less than the best is just different than you see from any other fan base. And the Mets are Mets fans are in an eternal state of woe. Like, they weren't in the World Series that many years
it's
ago,
true.
But they act like, they act like nothing good ever happens for them.
I sort of agree with them. Like, even I said it at the time. When they went to the World Series, it was the worst thing that could have happened to them because they lost. Because all of their pitchers pitched way too many innings. And they all dealt with some type of injury or bad regression. Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom. Like, the year after for DeGrom was rough. It was just like they if you were extending your pitchers this much, you better win that World Series, and they didn't. This is from Brendan. Trey Turner doesn't get talked about on the show a lot. Just wondering where you would rank Trey Turner among shortstops rest of season, and where you'd rank him in dynasty leagues.
I rank him pretty much where I ranked him coming in, higher in Roto because of the impact of the steals there is greater than in points leagues. But I think I have him in my top 30 overall in both formats, probably top 20 in Roto. And dynasty leagues, I don't think it'd be wildly different. Most of the high end players, with the exception of maybe the pitchers, are young, so it'd be about the same.
Yeah, Turner stole 3 bases on opening day. Got us so excited that he was gonna, you know, just steal a ton. And he's got how many? 13 steals in 38 games. It's really good, but obviously the pace has slowed a bit. Okay, that'll do it for the emails. We got Grade the Trade and Team Name Tuesday to end the show. So here we go, Scott. Just want letter grades here. Diego from San Francisco, not to be confused with Francisco from San Diego. Grade the Trade. Give up Javi Baez and Josh Bell. Get Chris Sale and Ronald Acuna. I like it.
I like it.
B plus.
I'll give it a B plus. Yeah, there you go.
I'm just speaking for Scott. From Josh, 5x5 Dynasty League. Categories, Dynasty League. I give up Acuna and Bueller. Ooh, in a Dynasty League where you keep 10. Oh. Acuna and Bueller, I get Eloy Jimenez, Michael Conforto, and Lucas Giolito.
Not enough.
Yeah, C minus, D plus?
Yeah, D plus.
Sean from Toronto. I need pitching. I give up Jose Ramirez and Alex Colome. I get Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Particularly if you have excess at third base, I would give this a B.
All right, this is from Sean in Ontario. I give 12 team categories league. Give Greinke, Puig, and Eloy Jimenez. Greinke, Puig, and Eloy. Get Luis Castillo and Juan Soto.
Okay, so slight downgrade of pitcher from Greinke to Castillo, but turning Puig and Eloy into Soto, I think, more than makes up for it. I'll give it a B, B, B.
16-team Roto League. This is from RB in Maine. Give Scherzer and Clint Frazier. 16-team league, remember. Scherzer and Clint Frazier. Get JD Martinez and Aaron Nola. Wow, it's going to come down to Nola. And how he pitches.
I know I rank Scherzer and Martinez about the same, but it's just so much harder to get the pitch. It really comes down to how much you trust Nola, which my trust has been wavering, even though he was great last time out. So I'll give it a C.
Okay.
I'll give it a C. It's really hard to give up Scherzer, but that's a pretty good return for him.
This is from Peter at the Jersey Shore. Dear Robert, John, Jimmy, and John. This is
Robert, John, Jimmy, John.
This is Led Zeppelin, Scott. They sing that, okay. They sing that song, Come and Knock on Our Door. 18 points league, Grade the Trade. Give up Acuna, Sale, and Soroka. Get Harper, Strasburg, and Kershaw. I do not think I like it. Give up Acuna, Sale, and Soroka. Get Harper, Strasburg, and Kershaw. C minus.
Giving up the
A.
best pitcher, I think, in Sale, but you're getting two. I think you can really bank on his Strasburg and Kershaw health. With Soroka, I mean, he's not quite there yet in terms of totally trusting him to be great for your rest of season. It is a downgrade, Harper to Acuna, but I do like it. I'll give it a B minus.
Oh, all right, all right. And we finished the show with Team Name Tuesday. Not a great round. Pretty fly for a Scott White guy. Pretty fly for a white guy. Offspring.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, I lived it, but it's fine. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Me as a team name. That's fun.
Column A or column B? Column A or column B, right?
Yes.
They might be Bryant's. Not bad.
Okay. Yeah, not bad.
Scherzer, hardly newer. Okay. Moncada, be kidding me? That's not bad. And Mancini in a bottle. We've had that a lot, but it's good. Mark in Kansas City has Billy Joel themes. Upton Girl. We do also get that one a lot. Oh, this one's very good. Sing us a song, Laureano Man. That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good.
Always a Herman to me. That's okay. Only the Good to Young, that one we've had. You okay. May Be Wainwright. Yeah. No, I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it.
Like You May Be Wrong. But
You May Be Right is the name of the song. You May Be Wainwright.
Oh, You May Be Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one's good. It's still Garrett Cole to me.
Mm.
It's good. Still rock and roll.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
We have the Black Eyed SPs. Like Black Eyed Peas?
Oh, SPs, like starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Strumming on the Old Young Ho. Strumming on the Old Young Ho. Okay. We're out of here, everybody. I want to thank Scott White. I have to scroll up and find my outro. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening. Everything else you need to know on Fantasy Baseball today, tomorrow. Goodbye.